Welcome to Super Tethys for Parshas HaZinu. We have a handful of stories this week. I know that everybody is tight on time, so I wanted to at least get something to everybody to have, even though we have a Yom Kippur on Thursday. I'm trying to get this out early. Stories, Rav Yitzchak Blazer, when he was nifter, he left a tzava. He asked that he would not be overly eulogized, even though the Shulchan Aruch, we know, says that you're allowed to be maflik a little bit. He didn't really want that. He didn't want it over the top. And Rav Chaim Berlin, I believe, was maspid, and he obliged. So later, Rav Yitzchak Blazer came to him in a dream and thanked him for not overly doing it, and said that specifically in the Olam HaEmes, the din is unimaginable, but specifically with respect to forbidden speech, it was just too... It's too intense. So this was a good move. Rav Yaakov Friedman had a hanhaga. He said, "I won't get involved in machlekas, even if it's to make peace, because I just don't want to have anything to do with it." More on speech. Rav Lapian said that they had records of the kabbalos that people made in Kelm, just to keep people honest and whatnot, and if you inspect them, you can see that many of those kabbalos did relate to speech. There's this beautiful story about Rav Chaim Ozer. There was a woman who apparently wasn't particularly stable, who came to visit Rav Chaim Ozer, and Rav Chaim Ozer, as the big Baal Chesed as he was, had a lot of these people kind of involved here and there. She came and she said, "If you don't give me some stucco money, I'm going to wreck your furniture." And everybody kind of was going to get up in arms. And Rav Chaim Ozer said, "Don't worry about it. Leave her alone. She's an almana, and I'll take care of you." The Chafetz Chaim, and avoiding, just spiritual sensitivity. When he was little, apparently, there was a shopkeeper that dropped an apple or something like that, and he picked it up and took it. But when he learned finally about the halachos of Gezel, and he understood, appreciated that that might not have been something that was rightfully his, he begged his parents for the money to be able to pay back that shopkeeper. Moreover, another story about the Chafetz Chaim, he said that when there was a little machlokas in the Shiva in Raden, he said, and I quote, "I would rather close," I mean, I didn't hear this quote, but this is the quote that I saw, "I'd rather close 70 yeshivas than having a machlokas pierce through these walls." And last one story about, and I'm sorry for going so quickly, but time is precious for all of us. We make sure we have something. There's a beautiful story about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And Rav Shlomo Zalman, he had a woman who asked him, an almana, asked him a ton of kashrus questions, and they had to do with kashering a kitchen and whatnot, and he answered all of them patiently. But 30 minutes later, he showed up at her door and said, "I will help you do all of the kashering myself." So when he was asked, "My high, what's the deal that made you do this yourself?" She said, "Well, you know, this woman just lost her husband a year ago. And since she lost her husband a year ago, she's probably, if she went through the process herself, she would say, 'Oh, my husband, woe is me. My husband used to do this for me, and now I am all alone. So I'm here to make sure that she doesn't feel so extraordinarily lonely and alone in her processes of life, and that she doesn't feel that terrible feeling of loss." So on the Divrei Torah, Zechor Yimoso Olam Binu Shnos Dor V'Dor, history makes us smarter. It's been said by a million people in a million different ways. The Altar of Kelm takes things in a different direction. He quotes the Akedas Yitzchak that says, "In Chacham Kabbalah Nisayon," somebody with experience can be a Chacham like nobody else. And the reason why is because we learn from the past about the future, and it allows us to prepare properly for the future. So this is why we need to learn about medicine. And, you know, when we see medicine is always doing experiments and trying to understand things, we understand why people kind of look towards experience. This is why Chachamim write down journals, they write down experiences, they write down how they had tried and attempted to do something. And this is not only the notion of a cheshbon nefesh, but many chachamim like to write down a little bit of a daily journal. you know, what is going on, so they become wiser about their lives and how to live them. So to be able to come wise from the past, though, says the altar, you really need to, you need to kind of think about it. And this is the Ma'amar Chazal in the Gemara in Tamid, where it says, Ezu chocham aroed asanoled. When we see what's going on down the path, that requires an extraordinary amount of wisdom. And we need to kind of figure out how to apply our experiences towards better future decisions. My wife and I know that there are certain circumstances. I always get lost and take the wrong exit at a certain highway point. You know, we always have an issue of just juggling what time to daven mincha on Erev Yom Kippur and so on and so forth. So once you have experienced something, you know, the way they say it is, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. You can't allow yourself to make the same mistakes over and over and over again, to learn from them and try to grow from them. And not only that, become wiser and try to build out a better model for the way for you to live your life. This is similar to the way that Shlomo Melech says, Kekelev, we were talking about this, I believe, recently, Kekelev, like a dog that is going after its own vomit, Kein ha'avil hashoneb avilto, same thing with a fool who repeats bad behavior. So we need to understand and always try to learn from our mistakes. Next, we talk about really the source of many averas, v'yashmen yeshurun v'yivat. So says the Gemara in Brachos, male kresa zane bishe. So filling up your stomach with averos, says Rashi, sheneamar v'yashmen yeshurun v'yivat. So the Mekubalim say, all the pleasures in this world gives a koach to the sitra achra, just like it says in the Gemara, because all the pleasures in this world make people kind of think about the wrong things and focus on the wrong things. So that's why the Ari says we need extra kavana when we eat, so that it is l'shem shamayim. If you look, when you see the Meforshim, it says kishe teshev lilchom. When you say you sit to lilchom, normally is understood lechem. It's turning the nominal lechem into a verb to bread with somebody. Bin tavin, and then it says vasamta sakin bloacha. He says, look, you know, be careful when you sit down to eat with somebody. But the Rav Moshe David Valley says that when it says kiteshiv lilchom, lilchom can also mean to go to war. And indeed, every time we sit down to eat, it is a war, but it's a war between us and our Yetzer Hara. So obviously with Yontif coming around, this is particularly relevant because we get involved in so much simcha. And then as we all know, the minhag of Bahab is worrying about maybe if we got a little bit too out of hand. Next is, it says, Shamanta Avita Avisa Kasisa, is basically saying that a person who is too involved in the fineries of life is going to be unable to focus on the true beauty of life. He says, and he quotes a Sephorno, he says, Vine ata yushurin, yushurin kal tofse toru baleyun. The learners, panisa elatanugin magashmim, you turn to physical pleasures, vaza avisa, you became thick, mehavin dakus emes, for you to be able to understand truth. Meaning to say, the Sephorno is highlighting what seems to be a binary choice. Either you can choose for pleasure in life, or you can choose for wisdom, but you can't really have the two of them. And indeed, you'll see that show up in Koheles, you'll see that show up in Mesilas Yesharim. And we know that the Rambam says in Hilchos Talmud Torah, a person shouldn't say, I'm going to get the Keser Torah with all of the pleasures in the world. Rather, it's with less involvement in worldly matters and less pleasure. And the reason why that is because the first thing which will take you off is taiva, right? As soon as we follow those desires, it will become a master over us. So, and that's going to be a great impediment to Torah study. Last is, this is in the altar as well, but he's quoting Yerushalmi and the Rambam and his Igeras HaMusar to his son. He says, Ki lo davar reik hu mikem. Nothing is empty in the Torah for you. So the Yerushalmi in Peah says, V'im hu reik mikem hu. And if you find that it is empty, it's your problem. Lama she'ein atem yigein b'Torah. Since you're not exerting yourself in Torah. So what is the yesod here? The yesod is that you need to, it is this idea in the Igeres of Musar of the Rambam, is that if you find something that is empty, a mamar chazal that doesn't make sense, or that you feel like it's up, upside down, don't give up on your faith. Because if there's something which seems to be wrong, it just means that you haven't put in the proper amelus yet. So, the way that, you need to live is even if you find something, that is so great, in the, you know, if you find something that just doesn't make any impression from any of the Svarim, you say that it has to be your own chisaron and not the chisaron in the Sefer before we start bashing the comment or just doing anything more than saying, I don't understand it yet. Hopefully I will get it soon. Thank you for learning with me. Have a wonderful Shabbos.